Okay, so today we are looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And children, you may be dismissed as we look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this, behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So this morning, I want you to focus on what he says there in verse 9 to start off with, where he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I remember as a child when I was in the church and I would hear that scripture, I would wonder, well, what is Jesus getting at? That doesn't make much sense because, I mean, don't people that have ears, or don't they hear already? So what is it that he's trying to get at? Well, we need to understand that what's happening, first of all, is that we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, that he's been proving that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. He's been proving that Jesus is not just a teacher that came along, he's not just another prophet, but he actually is the Messiah, meaning that he is God in the flesh. And he's proving this by demonstrating the miracles that Jesus is performing in front of them, the signs that are proving to everybody that this man is not just any teacher, but he's doing something miraculous, he's doing something amazing that nobody has ever done before, to the point that Jesus is drawing crowds, and crowds continue to come, to the point that the whole city was at the doorway in the one story, just so they could see Jesus and just so they could see what is happening. And no doubt they were there because they probably had a friend that needed to be healed, or a friend that was demon-possessed, or in fact they came them for themselves because they heard that Jesus was in town. Now, something we need to understand about the disease and the demon-possessed and all of that is that in their culture at the time, if you had a disease, if you were sick, that would make you unclean. And being unclean meant you were unwelcome. So that's why we have the story of him healing the leprous person who was unclean, the person who wasn't welcome in the church anymore, because they would put together sin and sickness. They would say, if you have sickness, must mean that you sin. That your sickness is a result of your sin. And we don't want to open up that debate of whether you believe that or not. We're not really here to solve that issue today, the whole idea of sickness being a result of sin. But that helps us understand why when we get into the early story, when they lower the man down and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, everybody's looking at him going, wait a minute, you can't forgive sins. How can you do that? Well, him healing basically was forgiving sins in their mind, because in their mind, the only reason somebody would be sick is because they sin. So Jesus is going along and he's proving himself over and over to who he is. And the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, are the ones who are having the difficulty in grasping it. They're the ones who can't believe that this man's coming and doing this, and they're finding and they're nitpicking and finding things wrong. They're overlooking all the good that Jesus is doing and all the lives that are being changed so that they could focus on a theological error that they found. Now, that's something else that we could spend some time on, is that too many times we tend to focus on that so much that we can overlook what God is doing, and that's what the Pharisees were doing. They overlooked everything concerning the impact and concerning the lives that were redeemed, the lives that were changed, and they were nitpicking, saying, wait a minute, we're going to have a theological debate. Jesus doesn't fit into our framework, as we talked about last week. He doesn't fit into our theology, so we're going to have to kill him, even though he's doing what needs to be done, and even though he's changed a lot of lives. See, because the truth is, God can do a lot in our midst that we miss. And sometimes we miss it because of what I just said about theology or belief system. I believe that in our culture today that we are inundated with what God isn't doing. Would you agree with that? We are inundated. Every single post, every single newscast, everything the media has to tell us, we're inundated with what God isn't doing. God must have forgot about us. Where's God? What in the world is going on? How in the world? Now did you hear what the latest is? Now they're doing, can you believe? I can't, now they're doing. I never thought, oh, so-and-so must be rolling over in their grave about how bad everything is getting. So what we need then is we need somebody to come along and tell us what God is doing. Because that's the important thing. Because all you had was the Pharisees' diary, if all you had was their personal journal, it would be talking about how horrible it is because this man Jesus came to town and he doesn't even ascribe to our theology. They would leave out every single life that he changed. They would leave out every single life that was redeemed because of him. And they would only focus on the negative side of it, which is kind of where we are today. And so it would be encouraging, wouldn't it, to hear what God is doing and to hear how God is still here and how God hasn't forgotten us and how a lot of times we can get skewed by following the media's attention so much that we forget that God is actually doing something. So at the end of chapter 3, we have Jesus, he's talking to the disciples, and in chapter 3 is where he actually chose the disciples. And at the very end, we have this story at the end of chapter 3. If you're following along, you read this interesting story, that they came to Jesus, and there was crowds everywhere as usual, and they came in and they said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are trying to get in to see you. And what does that tell you? That tells you the crowd was just really tight-knit crowd that you couldn't even get through. You ever been in a crowd like that? Do you enjoy being in a crowd like that? I've never enjoyed being in a crowd like that. Now, when I was younger, when I was a kid, it didn't bother me that much because I would slip right through, right? Nobody even could tell, right? But as you get older, you can't really slip right through, and you don't want to be labeled as the cutter, and you want to be labeled as somebody that got in somebody else's way. But I did learn, and some of you also have been out to other countries, know that some countries don't have lines, they just have mobs. And when they have mobs, you basically, that's first come, first serve. If you don't mob in to get whatever you're trying to get, you're not going to get it. And that's why they learn that tactic in other countries. And I've been to other countries where it's like that, and where you're just trying to be polite, and then if you're polite the whole time, you're never going to get anything, because it's just first come, first serve. But that's basically what it was this crowd packed in at the end of chapter 3, and Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside, they're trying to get to you. And Jesus, in so many words, I share this with the Bread and Soup Clan, in so many words, he says, tell them to go pound sand. Now, how would you like that if you were trying to get in touch with one of your relatives? And he said to go pound sand. Essentially, now that's the Chad translation, that's the Chad version, but that's essentially what he's saying, is because he says, who are my mother and my brothers? These are my mother and my brother. Because whoever does the will of God, he is my mother and my sister and my brother. Then in that moment, Jesus is saying, things are different now, guys. It's not about the bloodline anymore. It's no longer about the bloodline. Now it's about the kingdom of God. It's not about the physical. It's about the spiritual. And what happens is it's no longer about the physical bloodline you have with your family and relatives. Jesus comes and he says, no, if they decide not to follow me, guess what? You're in my family. They're not, kind of a thing. And so it's you don't have to go with the bloodline. You go with me now. And that's why he's saying, these are my mother and my brothers. So that leads us here to chapter 4. So at the very beginning of chapter 4, if we back up to the beginning, he says, he began to teach by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. Again, we have this crowd. The crowd was so large, Jesus didn't have a choice but to get into the boat and row out so that he could speak to them. And many commentators believe that the reason he did this is because sound waves actually work better over water than over land. That people can hear you better if you're over water than over land, and which tells us if that's the case, then Jesus used the means that he had in order to communicate to the people that were there. And so the crowd is so big, and Jesus sits down in the boat, and he begins to teach. And what's the first thing he says in verse 3? Could you please say that first word? Thank you. Listen. Has anybody ever said that word to you before? Listen. He says, listen to this. And you notice there's even an explanation point there. What does that mean? Explanation point. What does that mean? He's just calm. Everything's relaxed. It's listen. He wants everybody to hear this. He wants everybody to get this. He wants you know, listen. Very important. We talk about this word for a moment. The word listen. Actually, we have a slide if we put it up of the Greek word from listen actually comes from the word akouo. And akouo, say that with me, please, akouo. You are now a Greek scholar. You just entered in. I give you the diploma. Akouo is the idea. You've heard this before, I'm sure. You've heard it. People have said it before many times. The problem is you heard me, but you didn't listen, right? That's the difference. Because what do we mean by hear? If you hear something, sound waves are bouncing off your ears. Well, that happens all the time, right? There's a lot of things that you hear, but there's a lot of things that you don't necessarily listen to. Well, akouo isn't the idea of hearing. It's actually listening, which means, and it's actually spelled out in the Greek in the definition of this word, that it's the idea of intently paying attention to what is being said. You know, like you do every single Sunday. Nobody laughs, so maybe you do, okay? You intently listen. You're paying attention. You're listening. You're locked in, and you're just listening. It's kind of like some of you watched a game last night, right? Some of you, who watched the game last night? For a show of hands, yeah. Did anybody try to talk to you while the game was on? And what happens usually when that takes place? If somebody's trying to talk to you while the game is on, because for somehow others don't understand the severity and the seriousness of what's in front of your eyes. This cannot be interrupted unless it's a dire emergency, unless there's blood, fire, or vomit. Do not talk to me. Right? That's pretty much what it comes down to. Locked in. But they don't see they don't understand it. So they will just start talking about whatever. And you're like, okay, all right, we can talk about it. Yeah, that's good. We can talk about that later. Especially when the game's on the line. And there you are coming up the last play. What happens? Try to talk. There you are. You're ready. Almost like this. Has it ever happened to you? We've seen many sitcoms that joke about this, but has it ever happened to you where all of a sudden the power went out, or all of a sudden you missed the play and you couldn't see that final play? Something happened with the TV and it went out and you couldn't see it, and all of a sudden, what happened? I can't see it. Years ago, I've always been a big NFL fan, and you know I'm a Bengals fan, and you know the Bengals are in the playoffs and the Browns aren't. I'm just kind of mentioning that, but I'm not going to belabor that too much at all. Because I don't like to start fights or anything, arguments. But the Bengals are in the playoffs and the Browns aren't. But anyway, I've always liked to watch football. And years ago, how many of you know the name Brett Favre? Right? You know the name Brett Favre, okay? And I remember when he went to the Vikings. Remember when he stopped his tenure with the Green Bay Packers, went to the Vikings, got him all the way to the NFC Championship game. It was going to be a chance for Favre to win Super Bowls with two different teams. The station that was covering the game went out. And this was long before all this stuff, folks. And you could just, I'll just find the app. No, we couldn't even do that. What is going on? Turn it on, turn it off, turn it on. Every other station worked, but that one, that was the only station that didn't work, and you couldn't get it. And you were serious about it because it's serious. When all the distractions come, when I watch a game, I'm into it. I'm a full fan. I'm not going to be talking at the same time, not going to be doing this. I'm locked in, and it might not be games for you. It might be something else. But that's what Jesus is telling them to do. When he says this, he's telling them to akouo, which means listen or pay attention. Now, I'm going to give you the opposite in the Greek of akouo. Here's the opposite of akouo. Hamaleo. Please say with me, hamaleo. Hamaleo is simple. It means to talk. The opposite of akouo is hamaleo, which means to talk. You've probably heard about it with preaching. You have the homiletical study, or you have the homily, is what it's called when you're giving a message. That's where this comes from, hamaleo. So hamaleo simply means to talk, which is the opposite of akouo, which means to listen intently. You almost get the idea, even in the Greek, that it's impossible to do both. That you can't listen intently and talk at the same time. The problem is, most of us, and I'm not going to speak for everybody, I understand there are some saints here, and I'm not going to speak for you, but most of us like to do this more than we like to, would you agree? Because it's, usually it's talking. You ever been in a, years ago we were going, I was working with this company. We stopped off at a McDonald's where he grew up or where he knew everybody. And it was a breakfast time McDonald's. The place was packed. The parking lot was packed. And I had no idea. I was just with him because we were going on our way to the next job. He just stopped there to get something. And he said, come in here with me. I want to show you something. And he said, I guarantee you, when you walk in here, you're going to hear a lot of people talking and not one person listening. And he was exactly right. I walked into a mob of nobody could understand or hear possibly anybody because everybody was talking and nobody was listening. And have you ever thought about why we like to talk more than we listen? Because the truth is, if maybe we don't want to admit it, but we kind of like to hear ourselves more than the other person. And sometimes we even like to cut the other person off, don't we? Occasionally that may happen. Sometimes when somebody else is talking to you, you're not even listening to what they're saying. You're thinking about your response, so you can't even intently listen to what they're saying because you're focused on what you're going to say as a response to what they say, which means you miss what they say. I have been told before. I have been told, maybe you have as well. I have been told, you're not even akouoing to me. You're not listening to me. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. What did I say? You said that, you know, what you said. I mean, it's obvious what you said. Everybody knows what you said. The issue here is that we can't do that with Jesus. I mean, it's not proper to do that with each other. I get that, but that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is where we must draw the line in the sand is when it comes to Jesus, we need to shut up. That's what he's saying. I'm envisioning, and I can't prove this. This is just chat. But I'm envisioning that there must have been a reason why Jesus had to use akouo in this way that he did in the vocative text in the Greek. That there was a reason why he had to tell them, which tells me there might have been some going on that Jesus had to say, listen! I want everybody to hear this. So what does he talk about? Obviously, when he's talking, he wants to give something important. So what is he talking about? He said, everybody listen. I want everybody's attention. Everybody look at me. This is it. Stop talking back. Everybody, I want everybody's attention. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Some seed fell over here. Some seed fell over there. Some seed fell over here. Some was actually produced and became something great. The disciples came to Jesus afterwards, and they said, "Master, could you tell us what this parable means?" And Jesus said, "Don't you understand this parable?" He said, "The farmer represents, the seed represents the word of God, and what this represents is how everybody is responding, all the different categories of how everybody is responding to the word of God." Well, why is that so important? Well, the main reason, Jesus is like, he's screaming. I mean, if he could, he's shaking shoulders saying, "Listen to this. The word of God is what this is all about." And here it is, that not everyone, the word of God's going to be put forth, but not everybody's going to accept it. There are going to even be some who accept the word of God at first, but then the dangers of this life and the worries of this life are going to come and just choke it away. And there are going to be some that hear the word, but there's not going to be any growth, and they're going to be stifled as well. But then you have the other one where it's going to produce, and it's going to produce some 30, some 60, some 90, some 120. So the whole idea of producing, the word of God is going to produce through them. But these are the categories that we have. And that's what Jesus is saying. You need to stop talking and listen to this. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm going to say what this, because this is so important. And then after this, he even tells the parable. He says, "Nobody lights a lamp and hides it. But he lights a lamp and puts it on the stand in the house so it brings light to everybody." That's the whole purpose of the lamp. Why would you light a lamp and hide it? That doesn't make any sense. You light a lamp so that everybody... So the first application we get from this, why this is so important, is Jesus is saying the most important thing, first of all, is the word of God needs to be proclaimed. The word of God needs to be scattered like seed. The word of God needs to be given to those around. But the reality that Jesus is saying is some of that seed is going to fall here. Some is going to fall here. Some is going to fall here. And some is going to fall. In other words, so the first application is that the word of God needs to be proclaimed. The second to all, the second application is not everybody's going to accept it. And that's difficult to hear. That's difficult for us to even grasp or even understand, because nobody likes to talk like that. Nobody likes to get into a discussion like that somebody's actually going to reject God's word and say, "I'm not going with God." Nobody wants that, because our hope, of course, is that everybody accepts it the same way that Jesus did, the same hope that Jesus had. But the problem is that not everybody is going to do this, and he gives the reasons why, because there's going to be cares of this life that are going to come and choke it away. So some will receive it and they just immediately don't want it. I don't want to have that at all. Some will receive it and they have it and they're all excited about it and they're all gung-ho. Boy, I'm all about Jesus. I got the word of God. And then all of a sudden there's something comes along and stifles it and it's done. But then you have the ones who receive it that it multiplies over and over and over because they've actually received it and they've accepted it and they're living according to the way God desires them to live. So the first application is that his word needs to go forth to everybody. The second application is not everybody's going to accept it. But the third application would be, which category do you find yourself in? Because it's interesting that Jesus is telling this right on the heels of what the Pharisees have been doing, right on the heels of the Pharisees questioning his ways and his theology doesn't match up. And he says, "Hey guys, I'm giving them a chance. I'm giving them an opportunity. I'm giving them the same word you're getting. But they're refusing to accept it. They're rejecting it. The things of this life have stifled it." So where are you at with all of this? because this is really what it comes down to. It's like all of us, our whole purpose in life is defined by this. If we believe in God, if we don't believe in God, if we believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus is saying, listen and stop talking. I want you to hear this. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I know you love to talk, but no, I want you to hear this, that God's word goes out, but not everybody's going to accept it. And if that is the case, then we're kind of in a spot of saying, which category am I in? I would venture to say that probably within the sound of my voice, there might be one, maybe more, that you fall into the one category that, I've heard God's word before and I rejected it. I only am here today just because I know it's the right thing to do, but I'm not interested in serving God. I've heard it, but I just gave it, just talk to the hand. I don't even want to hear it. I would venture to say there's probably one or maybe more that are here today that I remember those days when I first came to Christ and I accepted him and I was all gung-ho and I was excited, but now I look at my life and all the stuff and the worries around me and everything just kind of came in and just stifled it. And if you find yourself in either of those categories, then the application then isn't to go away saying, well, I'm doomed, it's over. No. The application is to say, Jesus, how can I get into that other category? Because that's where I want to be. I don't like it here. I don't like it here. I really want to be where I'm supposed to be with this. And I don't want to play this game anymore. I really want to be over here. So back to the whole stewardship thing. This is stewardship month, and what does this have to do with stewardship? Well, it has a couple things to do with stewardship. First of all, we ask you to give to New Hope. We have boxes in the back. I know you don't see plates pass, but we have boxes in the back that you can give money for. Well, now here's his money speech. No, it's not a money speech. If you know me very well, I hate money speeches. I'm not giving a money speech. But I am saying that the reason to invest in New Hope is why. The reason to invest in New Hope is because we're all about spreading the seed, spreading his word, giving everybody we can the opportunity to know who God is. That's why we're here. We have a lot of different ways of doing that. We have a lot of different ways for connection, a lot of different activities to build a relationship, a lot of different ministries to do that. But the bottom line is we do it all for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to spread the gospel, to spread the word of Christ. That's why we're here. The second part is kind of what we've already, echoes what we've already been saying several times this month already. The second part is the idea of that your life doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. And the only way that you can grasp that, the only way you can understand that, that your life, including your finances, doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God, is if you're in that category. If you're in the category that received it well and that his word is increasing in you, which means you are walking with Christ, your life has changed as a result of him, and it hasn't been stifled, and you just continue to grow more and more into him, that means that your whole life is not your own. It does not belong to you, including your money, including your finances. So you bring your finances to God and say, God, this isn't even mine. What do you desire to do, and how should I? That's what this whole thing is about. That's why stewardship goes so way beyond money, to the point where it's all about our whole life being surrendered to Jesus. Is there something in your life that's keeping you from getting there? Might be a relationship. Might be a possession. But is there something in your life that's keeping you from being everything God desires you to be? And is God saying to you right now, in this moment, is God saying, you know what? You aren't where you need to be with me. Because that's what this is all about. If my life could be what God desires it to be and nothing else, God, if whatever needs to happen so that I can get there, because I don't want to fall into the trap of it being snuffed out. I don't want to fall into the trap of it being stifled out, and I no longer have the joy, and I'm just doing things out of tradition or routine now, but I actually want to actually know you in that way. Is all of your life pleasing to Him? Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for all that you mean to us. We're grateful that you had the passion to basically scream out, listen to this, this is very important. You must get this. Your word is the most important thing. There is nothing else. And how we respond to it affects all of it. And Jesus, if there's anybody here today that for some whatever reason is in the wrong category, their seed fell into the wrong category, whatever reason it might be, it doesn't matter what the reason is as much as it is. Do we want to be in that category with you? Because if we do want to be there, you will be faithful to show us what it takes to get there and what needs to happen. And you'll be faithful to walk with us step by step so that we can be the people that you want and desire us to be. Show each of us what this means.